Welcome to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast, where trauma survivors become healthy thrivers. Each month, we'll feature a theme in the trauma recovery and empowerment field to promote your recovery, healing, and learning how to build dreams. Here's your host, Karen Robinson, transformational coach and therapist.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast. Today, our guest is Dr. Melissa Riley. Dr. Riley is a psychologist and a parent coach. The name of her company is Moms Without a Mom. So today she's going to share her story with us and also any services and products she can offer our audience. So welcome, Melissa. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you, Karen. I am so glad to be here. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me.
Awesome. So let's just jump right on in, okay? Yes. What about your story? So just to back up a little bit, my audience is usually women who are trauma survivors. And usually the guests we have on our show are either survivors themselves or helping professionals that can offer something to support our audience. So if you feel comfortable, please share anything about your story that you think might be helpful for our listeners to know about you.
Sure, absolutely. So my story has a lot to do with grief. So I was born into a family of three sisters, myself being in the middle. And at the age of four, my older sibling passed away from leukemia. So my early childhood was marked by the stressors and loss that that situation created. Excuse me. So my parents did the best that they could, but unfortunately, me and my younger sister, who was only 18 months old or 2 years, needed to rely on the hospitality of others so that my parents could be present for my older sister, who was in the hospital most of the time. And then after her death, my parents really struggled with grief. And so there was some overlay in those relationships there because of that. Excuse me. I apologize. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
That happens. That tickle in my throat. Take another drink.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. We don't have perfect people in here that, you know, never cough or, you know, sneeze or anything.
Well, good. Good. I think my allergies are going a little crazy right now, so I do apologize. But anyway, so fast forward, as a young adult, as I was kind of going through my own individuation and launching from the household, me and my mom, who had always been very close, had a falling out and became estranged. And unfortunately, 8 months after that occurred, my mother passed away suddenly from a heart attack. Oh, wow. So we had never been able to resolve the issues that we were experiencing. So that complicated my grief process. Now, I was in, like I said, my young mid-20s. And then unfortunately, my younger sister then passed away 7 months later. So
what?
Again, yes.
Two sisters
and a mother. Yes.
Grief. So big time grief.
Absolutely. And then focused on my career. As you mentioned, I'm a psychologist. So I was very focused on doing that. So I didn't start my own family until much later in life. In fact, I had my son just days shy of my 38th birthday. So here I am, this psychologist, you know, I own my own practice. I had taught child development and human development at the graduate level and, you know, thought myself was pretty well together once I had this little baby. And while pregnant with him and then going through, because the pregnancy was a fragile pregnancy, I went into early labor with him, and I had had three previous miscarriages prior to his pregnancy. So it was extremely very stressful. I was on bed rest and the whole bit, but safely delivered him and was surprised by how flooded I had become with grief. Mm-hmm. Now, my mom had passed away 15 years prior, so I was really kind of startled by this. And what else amazed me was how unprepared to be a mother I felt, despite all of my education, my background, my knowledge, right? I couldn't believe how alone, how isolated, how vulnerable I felt. And Karen, in addition to that, I felt such intense feelings of shame. And I wasn't really sure where those feelings were coming from, but you know, I discovered that what I was going through was this resurgence of grief. So I felt like I was never good enough. I wasn't doing the right things. And oh my goodness, everybody else was doing it right. How was it that I, this competent woman, was brought to tears by simply not knowing anything? I mean, literally, I felt like I knew nothing, which wasn't the case. And I didn't have anybody to ask. And I think that's part of where that shame came from, was like this dirty little secret that here I am, I don't know anything about anything, and I don't have anybody to ask. And how can I admit that? How can people see that? And it was just such a terrible time.
So I'm guessing postpartum depression layered on top of that.
Absolutely. You know, there was definitely some postpartum depression and anxiety. And I was prepared for that. I knew my own history and I knew my family history. So I knew I was vulnerable, but the piece that, wasn't being recognized by the professionals, around me or myself was that a big part of that depression was that grief process, that longing for someone who wasn't there. The recurrence of these memories of, you know, not feeling good enough or being fearful that I wouldn't be able to take care of myself or the baby, which again is common with postpartum depression, but, you know, the feeling was very consistent with some of those older patterns, you know, of a childhood, you know, that was centered around grief, you know, needing to be the good one, needing to make life easier for those around me. And I know your listeners connect with that, you know, those that are yes, trauma yes. survivors, this idea of having to make sure that those around you are okay, or you might not be okay.
Yes. Yes. So you have one sibling remaining, is that right?
No, I don't have any siblings remaining. Oh, so both my sisters passed.
Three girls. Okay.
Yep. I was one of three.
Oh, and how is your dad?
My dad is still alive and doing as best as he can. He had remarried to a lovely woman, and unfortunately they were married 15 years and then she passed. So I lost a stepmother also.
Oh, wow.
But he's remarried again and is doing well.
Okay. Yeah, this might be the only time you hear me say he might need to marry a younger woman. No health problems. I don't know if I should be saying that.
I think he's in a good spot now. So, and she is a little younger, not much.
Okay. Yeah. So you've lost a mother, a stepmother, and two sisters.
Yes.
So you are very experienced personally with grief, and I'm guessing professionally at this point as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you get it. You get all the angles and nuances and the complications. And
I do.
Yeah. So it makes you extra. Yeah, though it sucks, right, to be talented because of pain. But I feel like when we live the battle and fight the battle and help other people through the battle, we just know the battle, like all the elements of it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell us about your healing journey. Like, how did you get yourself out of that intense grief after childbirth? Like, what happened after that?
Well, a big part of what helped me through that was creating a sense of community. So unlike many people around me who seem to have their go-to person or people, I didn't have that. So I had to very intentionally create that. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I talk a lot with moms about is being very intentional in creating their mom community. So, and that community should include multiple people. So for example, I include a wise woman. So this is somebody who has answers, right? Mm-hmm. This is the person that kind of knows what she's doing. And when you have those questions of, you know, what does it mean to have different nipple sizes on bottles, right? They know what that means. And I use that as an example because I didn't. you know, I had no idea that they came in different sizes until one of my son's teachers at his early learning center, which is where he was going, said to me, he's kind of struggling a little bit. Do you think it's time to go up on nipple size? I was like, what? What are you talking about? Because when he was with me, I nursed, right? But I needed to pump. So it was just one of those things. And then again, I felt humiliated. I felt such intense shame. I was like, how did I not know something as basic as that? Which again, why would I? I had never been around newborns. So I didn't know, right? It's not something that people generally talk about. Right. So that wise woman, right? Mm-hmm. And then we also need that emotional support. So this is the person in your life that you can just cry to. You can just kind of talk about your emotions, your feelings, what's going well, what you're struggling with. And this person will just listen. And then you also need in your corner the go-getter, the one that will help you with just about anything. So, you know, you are inundated with laundry. She'll come over, she'll grab your laundry, she'll, you know, wash it and then bring it back, right? You need some groceries. She grabs them, drops them off, right? Now, this person may or may not be the same person that is the emotional support. Often these people are different. Right. Mm-hmm. And then we all need that one person that never seems to sleep at night that we could just call. Right. When we have that late night issue. So as you'll see, Karen, I really think it's important that we have multiple people and we recognize what their strengths are, because not everybody is good at each of those pieces. So I'm a wonderful listener, but I'm not necessarily the great person that gets things done very quickly, right? So, but I have that friend and she's amazing and will do that. Now, many of us sometimes feel really badly when we ask for help. We think that, oh my goodness, I don't want to burden others, as if helping us is a burden, right? I mean, that's this terrible internal message we give ourselves. But one way that we can lessen that feeling of guilt that can get created is by identifying at least four individuals, you know, and again, I would look for people that kind of fit those different categories I mentioned. And if you ask one of those individuals for assistance for 1 hour once a month, right? Now let's face it, none of us feel burdened if a friend of ours asks us to help them for an hour once a month. I don't care how busy you are. You've got an hour once a month, right? And so if we have four people and we space those out, now we know that we're getting assistance for at least an hour every week. And that is a huge burden off of ourselves. So building community was a big part of what helped me heal through that process. Another piece was being able to share my story, mm-hmm. you know, expressing my grief experience, which in our culture isn't always easy because people are afraid of grief and they don't want to upset us. So they'll be quick to change the subject, but often that's not helpful. So finding people that could, you know, just listen when I talked about, you know, either the sadness or the joy or the happy memories, and expressing those things was really important to help me feel like I was okay and there wasn't something wrong with me.
Okay. Going back to the building community, because I just think that's an amazing, amazing idea. You mentioned four women. I'm tracking the wise one. Mm-hmm. The one for emotional support.
Yep, your supporter.
And the one for tangible support, the go-getter. Which one am I missing?
Yep, your go-getter. The late night talker.
Oh, the late night talker. Okay, yes, okay. That is just did you come up with that framework on your own, or did you hodgepodge it with things you read and did?
Nope, that's, you know, just what I created, what I needed, and what I promote.
I love it because I also, in my memberships for trauma survivors, there we have a lot of talk about community. Mm-hmm. So I think the framework is just beautiful and can work with many, many different types of issues, not just grief.
Yes.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay. So you talked about building a community and also telling your story. Mm-hmm. What ways have you told your story? Like, have you done talks, books, podcasts?
Well, initially I did a lot of journaling. And so I would write letters, you know, to my loved ones that had passed away and just kind of share daily things of that nature. And then I communicated a lot, you know, with friends, developed those friendships where it was safe to talk about, you know, about my stories. I have an aunt who is much more like a sister to me, and we share each other's stories, which is really important. Mm-hmm. And then just recently I began, you know, sharing my story on podcasts. You know, I've started a blog as part of my coaching program, but that's all pretty new.
Yeah.
But the other piece that, I also want to include that, moms without a mom, may recognize is some difficulty with their sense of mom identity, right? So who are we as a mom when we don't have a mother to reflect ourselves with? Now, being a mom without a mom can include, like myself, both moms whose moms have passed away, but this also includes many of your listeners. So the moms out there that don't have a relationship with their own mother. So she may be alive, right? But there's an emotional estrangement because the mom has had to. Exactly. Right. And sometimes they've had to make those very healthy decisions to disconnect, right, from a toxic relationship. So those moms also are moms without a mom. So, and then the third way to be a mom without a mom are those moms that are separated by large physical distance. And so again, they just don't have that go-to. So that identity piece. And so it's taken me some time trying to figure out who I am as a mom, you know, that's based on my personal values and my beliefs and what's important to me. And not necessarily by how I was mothered. So some of those things I take in as my own, but some of them I don't. And I think that's an important piece for listeners to recognize too, that, you know, how we were mothered doesn't define how we are as mothers. You know, it can influence us, but it does not define us. We get to choose that.
Right. We get to choose our own path.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, awesome.
Absolutely.
What other things healed you other than working on your mom identity, having a community? Were there self-help books? Did you go to therapy? What else was included in your healing?
Well, I've definitely been in therapy at different times in my life, and that included after having my son because I was really overwhelmed. And so I think being in therapy is very helpful, particularly for those moms that are experiencing postpartum depression, anxiety, or are just struggling with who they are as a mom. Now, my son is 11 years old, which is awesome. But in these 11 years, there's a real proliferation of coaching programs that honestly, I wasn't really aware of 11 years ago. But I think coaching has become another avenue for women to get assistance. And the difference with coaching is that it's really focused on something very specific provides encouragement and information, whereas therapy focuses much more on overcoming or working through symptoms and deeper concerns. So if you're kind of, you're right, absolutely deeper work. So, you know, if you're trying to decide between the two, again, coaching doesn't go as deep, right? But it does provide focused information. So that's an avenue for those that don't feel ready yet or are concerned with regards to therapy.
Well, also to the coaching programs, we can offer it across state lines where mm-hmm. therapy were restricted by the states that were licensed. And so I think, when we're really good at something, we can offer more services to more women with coaching programs sometimes. So I'm glad that you did that.
Yes, I am too. And that in my clinical practice, I do treat a number of women that are moms without moms. And, you know, I absolutely love that work. And I was really seeing the need to be able to reach out and touch more women. And I knew that I couldn't do that in my clinical practice because there's only so many hours during the day.
Exactly.
Whereas being able to do it through coaching, it's a wider audience. And I can provide more information in different ways. So I was very excited to do that. And again, I'm really passionate about this because there aren't many resources. You know, there aren't many people talking about being a mom without a mom. But the more I talk about it, the more people are saying, oh my goodness, I'm part of that group too. And this is what I felt. And our stories are so similar, right? That feeling of isolation and insecurity and feeling vulnerable and alone has been a common thread.
Yeah. So tell us more about your coaching packages, what you offer, and if you have anything to offer our audience, we'd love to hear about it.
Yes, I do. I've got two wonderful items, two guides that I would love to offer your listeners for free. The first one is for moms of little babies, and this is the Care for Yourself While You Care for Your Baby guide, and this provides 6 strategies for moms to engage in self-care that does not require them to step away from their baby. So I didn't have somebody to watch my son so that I could take care of myself. I didn't have time alone. So I developed these strategies for moms like me that couldn't step away or didn't want to step away. So that guide, you know, is there for your listeners. And then the other one is for moms of children of all ages. And this one is called the Enjoy Being a Mom Again Quick Guide. And it's to help those moms that notice that feelings of longing for a mom are getting in the way of them being present with their children. So they're wanting to be able to redirect their energy and attention to what they're experiencing now, because those feelings of longing and sadness are getting in the way. So that's that guide. So I'd be happy to offer that to your listeners. And the other thing is right now I'm in the process of creating a masterclass, and I will be rolling out my full coaching program this fall. So those listeners that get the guides, if you are interested in getting on my wait list, you will have the first opportunities to be part of those programs and with great incentives. And I will keep you up to date on all of it. So I'm really excited. And some input into what you're most wanting out of a coaching program like that. So there'll be some nice feedback that I'll be getting from my early adopters.
Wonderful. Sounds like awesome, excuse me, awesome programming you're offering that will really have a large impact on women. So that's really, really awesome. Okay. Any final tips or suggestions for women who are feeling alone? Like, I know you've already given some, but any final tips or words of encouragement to offer women today?
First, I think most of all, you are not alone. When you're feeling like what you're experiencing seems to be just you, please know that there are many of us out there, and reach out, connect, reach out to me. I'd be happy to you know, communicate, share stories, but know that you're not alone and that we can feel better and heal through this process.
Awesome. Okay. And so listeners, I will have her gifts in the show notes. And Melissa, if you could just tell us where to find you online.
Yes.
That'd be awesome.
So I have my website is momswithoutamom.com. And then I'm also on Instagram. Same tag, moms without a mom.
So okay. Well, thank
those
you
would
so
be the
Oh, go ahead.
2 easiest places to find me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on our show today and being such a, you know, in a short amount of time, you give such wonderful action steps for people who may be struggling. So I really, really appreciate that.
Oh, my pleasure, Karen. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening in today. Please join us next week, same day and time. Also, I would love for you to check out my website, healthrivedream.com.